Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and thank you so much for your time that you're giving us right now by pressing play on the Holderness Family Podcast.
We are giving you a lot of energy today.
Well, you know, I'm pretty energized by the interview that we just had, right? That you're about to listen to.
Yeah. So Carlos Whitaker is going to be joining us today. He has a new book coming out. If you're listening on the day that comes out, it's already out. It's called How to Human, and we're going to talk about it. But before we get to that, I will say, as a little teaser, the words of Carlos Whitaker have cracked open my icy heart.
You all... Sorry, I'm laughing. Kim is a wonderful person. She is.
Sometimes.
She's got a great heart.
Sometimes.
There is one, and you'll hear me defend you on this. There is one lane that it is difficult for her to stay in, which is understanding, loving, forgiving, and abiding with people with whom she has fundamental disagreements ideologically about the world. Right. Did I get that right?
Correct.
So
my icy heart has been cracked open, and I'm going to be making a change.
Well, like, as another teaser, you really do feel, and it's funny because I've never really known how to have the language to try to help you with that. And you've asked for help. You've admitted all of these things. It's a great problem. Kim is so good. She always admits what her shortcomings are better than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. And she'll say, like, I'm having a tough time with this person because they see differently from me. I realize that this may not be entirely logical. And you say that out loud, but Carlos really did have like some really, first of all, positive ways to think about it, and then some stories.
Yeah, good storyteller. He's a good storyteller. Before we get to Carlos and introduce you to Carlos, Jen from Illinois did leave us a voicemail wanting to know how our kind of holiday contract worked out.
Oh, yeah.
How did that end up working out? What do you think? I think it was great. Go back to episode Blurg, I should have known that.
Oh, that was the Blurg episode. That was a good one.
That was the Blurg episode. Yeah. We talked about our holiday marriage contract and how we were going to help and anticipate needs over the holidays. And
I mean, we didn't fight.
We didn't. I have to say, this goes back to the chapter in our book called Secret Contracts. Those are the roles that you take on without even a conversation and in your marriage, and they work until they don't. And in December, every single year of our marriage has been some big, massive blow up because we've not realized what each other needed. And this year we went through the process of writing down what each other needed. And
you know what my favorite part about all of it was? Mm. As we were doing it, just because we had written the contract and we had the language, like, I'd be upstairs wrapping presents, which was part of it, because you felt like you were doing the lion's share of elf work. Mm-hmm. And I was getting equal
the
in
kids
some
were opening presents. You're like, huh, where'd you get there?
Thanks, Daddy. I love you, honey. But as I was wrapping it, first of all, I will say I felt more involved this year, and that gave me more joy on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
But also we were like, for my part and also for your part, when you were like giving me some more time to kind of go out and do my own thing, we would just yell across the room like, I'm anticipating your needs, honey. Like just yelling, I'm anticipating your needs, to the point that our kids are like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Yeah. Anyway, so it worked well. So I feel like having those check-ins, maybe even seasonally, it's good and something we're going to put into practice.
Do we need a winter madness contract also for you, babe?
Y'all, this seasonal affective disorder,
I know,
is banging. But
it's
anyway,
it's actually really nice out right now.
I know, but I'm like, there's no leaves in the trees. Anyway, let's get to our guest. Carlos Whitaker is an author, speaker, and storyteller who is bringing hope to humans all over the world. His superpower is creating spaces online and in person where people feel safe to engage in a genuine dialogue and be themselves. In a world determined to stand on issues, Carlos walks with people. He and his wife, Heather, live in Nashville, Tennessee with their three children, where you can find them working on the family farm, planning trips around the world, and dancing to Single Ladies. His new book, How to Human, Three Ways to Share Life Beyond What Distracts, Divides, and Disconnects Us, is out now. Welcome to the show, Carlos.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is fun.
We're glad you're here. And we've got some we're going to get into some deep stuff, but I want to start with this question because I feel like I know you from following you. It is now mid-January. Are your inflatables still in your yard?
I sadly took them down 6 days ago.
Okay, but that's good. Like you made it. You made
it.
Yeah.
And I had written the word joy in twinkly lights on my roof, so anyone that comes over the hill sees it. That is still there.
Okay. Leave it. So, that feels like a year-round message.
I mean, you know, I asked my wife, can I just leave that up all year? Who doesn't want to feel that? And my neighbor across the street, her name is Joy, so she just feels like I'm the best neighbor.
She thinks it's for her. Let people know, so we discovered that he has like this like Clark Griswold way about him that's very similar to someone else on this podcast where, I mean, he likes to go all out for Christmas time. And so that was one of the ways that we got to know each other.
Yes, all out. Like I am the guy that begins. Now, the inflatables are step one. I kind of go all Clark Griswold, but I begin putting my inflatables up. I pull them out October 31st on Halloween, and then November 1st, bam, it is game time, and they go up.
That's you. So you have an STD. That's what we made a video of. Skipping Thanksgiving disorder.
Thanksgiving. Yes, I am 100%. I've got the STD, and I don't want a cure.
No, right?
Just a scorching case.
Scorching case.
Got it. Yeah.
STD. Okay, that's why you're my people. Okay. First of all, congratulations on the release of this book.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I read it. It's great. As we just said, it's called How to Human. Why do you think we all needed this book right now?
I feel like we need the book. Everybody needs the book because whether you want to admit it or not, 2020 till now has knocked us all off of course, maybe 1% some people, maybe 5% some others, but we've all been kind of through global collective trauma. And I think that we've forgotten how to human as a verb, right? Like how do we do this? And so I wanted to write a book for such a time as this to just remind everybody that, you know what, maybe we could do this a little bit better if we put some intention behind it, you know, instead of just kind of like letting our feelings be the things that lead us. Why don't we take charge of those things? And I think maybe we can course correct a few things. So I just feel like, you know, right now in the midst of all of us are like, what just happened? And it's not like it's not slowing down. We got a lot of divisive things that are coming our ways in the next few years. I just felt like, hey, let's give ourselves a manual with some handlebars that maybe we can steady ourselves and maybe just fix that 1% shift.
When you say 2020, I mean, there are a lot of things that happen. Are you talking more specifically about COVID or more about the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yeah, I mean, we can go COVID. We can go. I mean, 2020 gave us a pandemic. We were all pandemic rookies. Like, there's not one person that was like, "Hey, yeah, I'm a veteran at this." No, every single human on planet Earth went through that for the first time together. And then leading into Black Lives Matter, leading into just racial unrest and everything we saw there, leading into a presidential election that made everyone hate their own family members. It just was like, it just was so much. And so 2020 has kind of become a cuss word, right? Like, it's like you say it and people are like, oh, yeah. You know, and it literally elicits a response. So yes, 2020 was the beginning of that. And I think most people were like, well, 2021 will just fix it. And it just didn't. And it's like, huh, maybe we've got to do some work then, instead of just expecting a new year to fix it. Maybe we got to fix it ourselves.
More on this after these words.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You say, I don't stand with issues, I walk with people.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about 2020 and people hating family members and things like that, how do you reconcile when people are on the opposite side of something you feel passionate about? How is it, how exactly are you walking with those people? Because I need some coaching, I will say.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. No, I get it. So, okay. So when people ask me, this is a phrase that one of my friends in North Carolina told me one day, maybe like 7 years ago, when I asked him where he stood on an issue. I wanted to know, like, hey, where do you stand on this issue? And he looked at me and he goes, oh, I actually don't stand on issues. I walk with people. And I was like, whoa, what does that mean? I like that, but like, practically speaking, what does that mean? So me, you know, as someone that has a platform and I talk to the camera for a living, people are constantly asking me, Carlos, where do you stand on this issue? Where do you stand on this issue? And I've learned how to adapt that phrase, I don't stand on issues, I walk with people, to my life. And so let me just unpack it for a second. Just because I don't stand on issues and I walk with people doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's very important things within issues, right? It's not like I don't have opinions on these issues. It's not like I don't believe wholeheartedly. And I'm very loud about those issues that I believe in. But here's the difference. The difference is I don't view an issue as just an issue. It's an actual human. It's a person. Every issue affects a human. So what I try to do, and it's difficult. This is a lot. Listen, it sounds like a bumper sticker. It sounds like a T-shirt. People are always like, I want to put that on a T-shirt. Can you put don't stand on a shit? I was like, you don't want to wear this T-shirt. Because to live it out, you literally have to like swallow your own pride, have empathy and curiosity be the thing that rises up. And you have to go past your opinion on an issue to the person. So this is what that looks like. If I don't stand on issues, I walk with people. Great example. I've got one of my best friends on planet Earth. We vehemently disagree on a lot of things that we didn't know we disagreed on until 2020. Thank you, 2020. Now I know what everybody thinks.
Right.
And so suddenly our relationship began to fracture and we stopped hanging out. I looked on Instagram one day and I was like, this is my best friend since I was 18. He's not following me on Instagram anymore. Like third grade feelings are hurt right now. And I'm like, what is happening? So I was like, how do I do this? So I said, okay, this is what it looks like. We still are going to disagree. Walking with people doesn't mean trying to convince them of your thing, but if our relationship started and had nothing to do with all of these things that it ended with, like what, something's not right here. So I invited him over for dinner and I said, hey, listen, I know that there's tension here. So this is what I want to do. I want to find something that we can both root for together. And so we're like, okay, because just because we disagree on political issues doesn't mean we can't find common ground. So we bought season tickets to Nashville SC soccer team. And so right next to each other. So guess what? This is crazy. every Saturday, we show up at Geodis Park Stadium wearing the same color, screaming for the same team, high-fiving each other when we score. And do you know what that's done? That has healed so much of our relationship. And the goal of the relationship isn't to convince each other that the other person's wrong or that we're right. It's just to be human together and to walk together. So that's all I'm saying. Like, we've got to learn that we can vehemently disagree with somebody else while not just standing them, but like actually like having a healthy, wholesome relationship with these people. And I know it's hard. And I know there's going to be, you know, little things here and there that can't work, right? There's some dehumanizing people that maybe it's not good for your mental health. You got to take things as they come. But understand this, just because you're turning your face towards somebody and your heart towards somebody does not mean you're turning your back on your convictions. You can still be convicted about things while loving people that don't agree with you. And it's hard to live that out, but it's possible because I'm doing it every single day.
I think that is it's definitely a cornerstone of this book, obviously, about how we need to come together, because there are so many relationships in my life that are fractured because of differing beliefs and started back, you know, 2016. Again, to your point, I have people who I went to high school and college with, and we had entire relationships, and I never knew how they voted or cared about things.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden that becomes very important. So I will say Penn does a much better job. He has more people in his life that have varying views because they have, he loves team sports. So he plays tennis. Yes. He plays, what's the Frisbee thing you play now?
Ultimate.
He plays Ultimate.
Yeah. Oh, you play Ultimate Frisbee?
So he, I love that. But he gets in these situations where there is that common goal. There's that common. So I just need in my life to figure out how I can come together. And it does feel a little bit like I am very stubborn. And I want to be like, you go first. You make the first phone call. And I know that's not how it's supposed to work.
I've experienced all of this. And I want to, first of all, yes, I am a little bit more golden retrievery with people, and it probably will get me in trouble at some point when I'll just realize, oh wait, this is a really bad person that I've become really close friends with.
Right.
But I do try to see the bright side of people. It's so funny. There was like the owner of the Cincinnati Reds who was like, Hitler was good. He built some good roads. Like
it sounds a little bit
she hears when I'm talking. I'm not saying that. However, to defend Kim, she has another thing that she has to deal with that I don't. And that is like real anxiety that comes from hearing the views of her friends. And so mental health is an issue when it comes to this. So she has had to, for her for mental health purposes, take some breaks from these relationships.
Yep. Absolutely. It's very important, you know, to, again, like I said, there's going to be caveats. There's going to be, you know, Carlos is not going to, as a black man living in Nashville, Tennessee, go to the Reddit forums, find out where the next KKK rally is, show up and give a big group hug to everyone going like, hey guys, I'm here to walk with you. Let's go.
Yeah. I spent the afternoon with Earl.
That's not good for my mental health or probably my physical health.
Yeah.
So there's going to be things we've got to do to protect ourselves, but there's but that doesn't mean that there's not people that you can walk with that aren't going to be bad for your mental health. And maybe you're going to, you know, help those things as well. And so, you know, it is a real quick story, 30 seconds. You know, again, there's a guy that I follow on Twitter that's completely on the opposite side of all my views, right? And I follow him because I learn about what the opposing views are. And so I see it, but he's like a super mean dude, like just mean. Like he's just, he's kind of like paid to be mean. Like that's what he is. Well, him and his family had just moved to Nashville, and I was like, I can't believe this mean dude lives in Nashville now. This is horrible. My wife and I are having sushi one night, and I see him, mean dude. This guy's got millions of followers. He doesn't know who I am. But Heather's like, why are you freaking out? I was like, oh my gosh, that's mean dude. Like he's professionally mean. Like I disagree with everything that he does, but like I can't believe I'm seeing him.
You're starstruck.
I'm starstruck. Yes, I'm very starstruck. And Heather goes, oh, well, you should go pay for his meal. And I was like,
oh, yes.
Excuse me? No. This guy is saying things, Penn, like you just said, like saying things that I am like not only vehemently disagree, but he is dehumanizing people. She's like, okay, listen, Mr. Stand on Issues, or don't stand on issues, walk with people. I need you to walk over to that person and pay for his meal. So I walked over to him, and this is what I said. I said, hey, you don't know me. my name's Carlos. I follow you on Twitter. And immediately he like kind of lights up and his wife lights up. They're together. And I was like, hey, listen, I just need to know, like, I don't agree with anything really that you say. And suddenly, like, there was a shift in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And now he's thinking I'm going to accost him, right? And he's like, so he kind of, and his wife's kind of starting to giggle. And I was like, but I actually, like, I learned a lot from you. And so, like, you're really a good teacher. Like you know, and I just want to say, welcome to town. I know you just moved here. Anyway, just welcome to town. My name is Carlos and just wanted somebody to greet you. I don't know if you've been officially greeted. Welcome to Nashville. Hopefully you enjoy your time. So I leave. I tell the server, hey, I want to pay for the guy's meal, but don't tell him until I leave. So I leave. Later that night on Twitter, the meanest guy on planet Earth that I know, suddenly I'm starting to get text messages with screenshots of his tweet. And he tweets out, so I was at dinner tonight and this super blankety blank voting, you know, dude walks up to me, tells me he doesn't agree with anything that I believe, but then he paid for my meal. And me and my wife are literally shocked and blown away at his kindness. And so whoever this Carlos guy is, I don't know who you are, just thank you. Thank you for showing me that there's people that can disagree with me and not hate me. And I tell that story because, like, that paying for that guy's meal opened something up in his heart. Like, literally, like, that was the nicest thing he tweeted in 4 years. Like, and yeah. Everyone's making fun of him on Twitter going like, dude, why are you being sappy right now? This is ridiculous. Like, but it just goes to show that it doesn't take a lot to open somebody's heart. And so maybe walking with people is simply doing that. We don't have a relationship. We're not like best friends now, but it was a moment that hopefully shifted something inside of him.
I would hate it when people give good advice and they're right, and I have to change my mind about things.
Wouldn't you argue, Kim, that those types of conversations and interactions, they may be harder, but you learn more from those interactions than you do talking to someone who agrees with you completely.
And you
change more.
No, and I'm with Carl. So what happened? I'm not on Twitter much. But I do purposely, same thing. I follow that because I do want to be educated. And I'm a former journalist. I don't believe everything coming out of like the party I voted for. So I do try to stay open-minded on this. Okay.
Yeah.
I love this advice. Now, you recently had some advice in your podcast community, and you talked about small daily changes, how they affect your perspective on life. And you recently talked about the 1 degree analogy.
Yeah.
So could you kind of explain that for our listeners here today?
Yeah, sure. So again, 1 degree, like my dad used to tell me all the time. It was just so annoying, but now I get it, right? When I was growing up in high school, he's like, Carlitos, if a ship is off 1 degree and it goes 10 miles, nobody is going to know it's going the wrong direction. But after 960 miles, it will be 15 miles off. And that 1 degree, Carlitos, if you can just fix it, you don't even know you're going the wrong direction. And so I think for so many of us, like, we don't know. We think like, I mean, okay, like, big deal. Like, yeah, 2020 knocked me off a little bit, but I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, like, if we don't grab a hold of this, everybody collectively, it is going to continue over the years and decades to veer off to a point where, you know, I actually am frightened that if we don't do this human thing right on purpose, and just, again, it's just 1 freaking degree. Mm-hmm. But if you don't course correct it in 10 years, I think we're going to be, you know, 100 miles off. And if we can fix it now, you know, I look back at like Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. And I just think to myself, like, they were like complete, like vehemently opposing views, and literally ended up best friends, right?
Yeah.
You got Bill Clinton and George W. Bush.
Yeah.
George W.'s children call Bill Uncle Bill, right? Yeah. And so like, we're not that far removed from that being an actual possibility. I just think that, to be honest with you, these devices in our hands, Twitter, all the things, I just think that another human piece is we know too much. Like, I don't think we were actually created as humans to consume the amount of content that we consume and know what we know, right? Like, I think you'd think 200 years ago, you knew the story of your family, maybe the people at your, you know, fellowship, the butcher's problem down the street, the baker's problem. And that's about all we had the capacity to know. And now we know what's happening all over the world 24 hours a day. And I just think we weren't created to know that.
And if
so
you,
maybe even yeah. lessen. Yeah.
If you don't know, you can find out in 3 seconds.
Absolutely.
That's the other part of it. I love the 1% metaphor. I'm going to give you, by the way, because I'm ADHDing out a little bit here, another story you can tell if you're presenting that. NASA has developed this like thing the size of like a refrigerator that can run into a comet like 3 years before it hits Earth and knock it off like 1/100th of a degree, and that'll save the planet.
See, they're I'm now taking the ship thing to a whole new level.
Yes.
Like you're taking my TED talk up. Yeah. Like that is so true.
It's like, look up NASA's DART mission. It's like it's the way to avoid disaster a long way. Like more of like a positive way to think about it, right? Right.
Right.
So what is the 1%? So what is something today can do to kind of right the ship, you know, in that 1%?
I mean, there it is, you know, Kim. Because I get to see your eyes right now. I can see it every time we're talking about this. You're just like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I like it's not going to feel great to do that. But I just think that 1% today, I mean, I was talking about for me, like 1% is looking at whatever bias I may have towards somebody, right? Like we all have biases. Every single person has a bias.
Of course.
And curiosity will, I think, be the thing that fixes our 1%. Because if we can just be curious about somebody, and everybody's viewpoints are actually based in a bias that was formed through an actual real life event or circumstance, right? So like nobody just comes to, you know, an opinion just because they feel like it. No, something has happened. They've seen something. So curiosity always leads me to the heart, and the heart is either wounded or something is there. And that is actually behind some of the behaviors that are driving me crazy by these people that disagree with me. Mm-hmm. Because there's actually, if I'm curious enough, I can get past the opinion to the heart. And now we're talking about heart stuff. We're no longer talking about issue stuff. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I just think when you get to the heart piece, and that's what's happened over my year and a half of being a Nashville Soccer Club season ticket holder with my best friend. Guess what I've done? I've gotten past his tweets that drive me freaking crazy and to his heart. And when you get to the heart, that's going to adjust us by 1%. And that's really all I'm trying to get us to do, you know? So yeah, look on your phone. Who is it? Send somebody, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a deep conversation. Send somebody that drives you crazy, I don't know, like a $20 Starbucks gift card. And that's it, with no like strings attached. Just say, hey, just thinking about you, and you send it. And I promise you that right there is going to shift something in both of your hearts. Really simple stuff. It's not super complicated.
That's a great segue to just talking about some of the charity that you've done through your Insta Familia, which I most recently, I mean, if you haven't seen what he does, he starts a movement. It seems like a micro movement because he's asking for small donations, but it, because of the size of his following, expands into like life-changing moments. Do you want to maybe talk about how that has helped with that 1% and also and maybe just give people the story about Waffle House, which just happened?
Yeah, sure. So again, overarching theme, right? I've got this Instagram, you know, community I call the Insta Familia, and we come together. You know, it's not like our shtick. It's not like the thing that we do, but we do it a lot. We do it like 4 or 5 times a year. And we come together and I have a big bucket and I ask everyone to donate, you know, $3, whatever's in their Venmo. And inevitably it grows to like this last time, $145,000 in 24 hours. And so there it is sitting. And then we find a way to root for something together. Again, I'm telling you, this is the key. And I find a story. And guess what? People on the left and people on the right, people on the up and the down, people that are gay, people that are straight, everybody comes together and nobody wants to know any details about the people besides we're going to root for this together and we give. And so that's a little bit about what it looks like. And this last little moment that I'm literally fresh off of, I just left Waffle House about an hour before I got here to give the last $20,000 or $15,000 to the Waffle House cook. But so this morning, so a couple days ago, MLK Jr. Day, I'm like, hey, I mean, he had a dream. Like, what a great week to like make some dreams come true. So let's go do it. And I started kind of driving around the city, like trying to feel like, where am I supposed to go? Went into Walmart first, and I found two people and asked them what their dream was. And one lady's like, my lifelong dream is just to fly to Amsterdam with my kids. Aww. And she's like stocking shelves at Walmart. And I was like, man, that's an awesome dream. And then I walked outside and there was a young man pushing the shopping carts and asked him, hey, what's your dream? He's like, just to get out of here. And I was like, okay, well, but like, let's put some legs on that. Like, what do you want to do if you get out of here? He's like, I want to be a graphic designer. And I was like, check. So then I went to Waffle House across the street and I asked every single person working what their dream was. They all start telling me their dream. And then I get on my phone. This is what I do. And I say, hey, Instafamilia, here are the dreams. Here's the bucket. It's called Venmo. Let's dump it in and then let me go surprise them tomorrow. People dump it in. Now it's $146,000 in Venmo and PayPal in 24 hours. I got to be freaking Santa Claus and I show back up. And this is the reel that I have up on my Instagram right now. And I show up and I say, hey, you know, I asked you what your dream was. And these Waffle House waitresses, it's awesome because they're just like a freaking gang, right? And they all kind of are coming around me. I was like, which one of you has Venmo? I got Venmo. I was like, open up your Venmo. And, you know, I think that, and this is the difference. Yeah, there's people that do this kind of stuff and they'll give, you know, I feel like sometimes people give money to these social media things for clicks and for views.
Right, right, right.
And you know, it's almost like inspirational, I don't know, like it's just...
Inspiration porn, yeah.
Yes, okay, I didn't want to say it, but...
Yeah,
but
you're safe here, say, yeah. Say it.
Okay, and so... I don't ever want to be that. Like, mm-hmm. I want this to be a relationship that lasts. And so I'm like, I'm coming in this Waffle House all the time. Open up your Venmo. She opens it up. And I said, watch this. And I clicked and I sent her $10,000.
Oh, my.
$10,000. Not $100, not $1,000. $10,000. And the moment when she sees it and then the other waitresses see it.
Yeah, she covers her mouth. And she's, yeah, it's almost like she couldn't breathe. It was crazy.
She couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
It was life-changing. And so to be able to do that and to be able to give people that have vehemently disagree on a lot of issues something to root for together and come together. We literally, when I went to Walmart, you know, I told her, hey, I'm giving you $20,000. She didn't know what to do. And she's, you know, the text messages, these are the stories that I'm getting from these people now. I mean, it takes them 24 hours to process it. And they're like, I just paid off my car. I just, you know, moved. Three of the Waffle House waitresses live in hotels. And all three of them put a down payment on either an apartment or to rent a home. And they're moving out of their hotels this week. Because it's something tangible that has happened. Yeah. So again, that's what the Instafamilia does. That's, you know, generosity, I think, is something else. Yeah, Penn, that can shift us. You know, if we're generous together, I think that's another 1% thing.
You're like a goodness gang. You're like,
yeah, the goodness gang.
Yeah.
That's got some serious street cred. The name Goodness Gang.
Goodness Gang.
Yeah.
That's it. I think you just leveled up the Instafamilia.
Hang, we almost got musical there. You've got a musical background.
I do. That's why I'm in Nashville. I signed a record deal with Sony Provident in 2010. And yeah, put out a couple records. It's funny because now people have no idea. The fact that you even know that is funny because nobody knows that, you know? And I've got a small spattering of people that were around back then that still are like, Carlos, I started following you when you were like a musician. And if somebody Googles me, they see like, they'll see a photo of me on the cover of my CD with like a deep V-neck and some like pearls and like a goatee, very 2009 Carlos. And they're like, what is this? Who is this person? I'm like, yeah, that's what I used to do. And so, yeah, I mean, every once in a while I get an itch and maybe I'll, you know, pull out the guitar upstairs with the kids and chop it up a little bit.
And so you do speak, and I feel like I've seen you on Instagram perform at churches. Like, you're still singing. So you're still doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I probably spend now maybe 80% of my time, like in the corporate space, you know, speaking there, but still, you know, I got 20% of my time. I'm still preacher Carlos will come out. And then if the band is up there at the end of my talk, at the end of my sermon, and I'm like, turn around, I'm like, see. And I just get the keys, got to go and see there. And then I'm like, listen, I will throw down some 2010 worship and we just go at it. So yeah, I have a good time.
So because you do spend 20% of your time doing, you know, preaching the good word. How do you balance your audience knowing that, I mean, a lot of Christianity has been weaponized.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you have those conversations?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have kind of become the if I could send you a screenshot of the I'm going to guess 5,000 DMs I've gotten from people saying you are the last Christian that I follow. Like it is very evident to me that I am carrying an extra weight to try to show people that Christians aren't like not all of them are. And actually, like, it's not about political affiliation. It's literally about, for me, being the hands and feet of Jesus and showing people that they're worthy of love and seeing them and then freeing them in some way, shape, or form. And that is it. Like, if I can represent, and I tell people this all the time, this is how uncomplicated we can kind of make it. There's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit that I try to live by. And these are them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you don't see that, then don't pick that person to follow if they're going to call themselves a Christ follower. If they've got all those other things and they're trying their hardest to live those things out, then I think that's a safe space. But listen, I was burned in 2020. I left the church in 2020. Like, I literally was burned by Evangelical America. Why? Because they used to invite me to speak on their stages. And then I started to speak on racism. I started to speak on justice. And guess what? I got uninvited. I got uninvited. And so that wounded me. And so, like, you know, there's been a lot of stuff even in my heart, but I'm trying my hardest to be a shining example of what somebody that follows Christ can actually be. And that's somebody that is accepting, that is loving of all people, and that literally just wants to sit at a table with as many different people, with as many different perspectives and faiths. I got Muslims, I got atheists, yeah. I got, you know, Hindus, I got all sorts of people that follow me. They know that I love Jesus, but they also know that I'm not going to shove it down their throat.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
So, I mean, honestly, religion is the best place to apply. I don't stand with issues. I walk with people. And look, my dad was a pastor, and I grew up in a church, and I saw divisiveness then. Yeah. It's still now. I know that people, it does seem hopeless, right? Like, Christianity has been leveraged and like kind of annexed by some like particular part of this world, but it doesn't have to be. There's always been arguments about Christianity. Do you know why? Because the Bible is an art of interpretation. Even the actual creation of the Bible, you know, in the Council of Nicaea, was a bunch of people sitting around deciding what they wanted to make into canon. Totally. And so people killed for the Bible for years. So it makes me, like, that gives me a little bit of hope just looking back at how crappy it used to be and say, like, we're just having some political divisive issues and we can correct this.
Yes. But people that, you know, and I get it. Sometimes it's like, this sky is falling. We've never been as divided as we are right now. And I'm like, actually, like, have you read any
the Crusades?
Yeah. like there's not heads being chopped off and swords like coming down my neighborhood here in South Nashville because of what? Yeah, it's not as bad as it was. And we actually can, I think, make things better. Yes, we had a blip. We had a hiccup. And listen, I'm straight up where I want to be. Maybe I'm the guy that helps, you know, helps course correct it a little bit, because my dad was a pastor too, you know, and I know, you know, just thinking about my dad, like the good work that he did and how it, you know, I think there's just some purity that has been lost in it. You know, I'm just trying to bring that back.
Yeah. So. And I think that, so Penn's dad passed after a battle with dementia this summer.
Yeah.
And he was a very, he was the type of pastor that my butt would have been in the front seat every week. But he was so far ahead of the time in terms of inclusiveness. And he, you were talking about, like, what would Jesus do? Like, those, he did all those things and put it on the people in the pews. Like, if he had Instagram, he would be the person going to Waffle House every weekend, handing out tons of cash. Yeah, but I just feel like now when you say, oh, I'm going to church or I'm a Christian, people bristle almost.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the solution is for that. Yeah.
I mean, the solution is, I should ask Carlos because he knows more about it. But I think one thing is just some perspective, right? Like there have been disagreements before. There will be disagreements in the future. The Bible is not going anywhere. And churches aren't going anywhere, and they do evolve, right? Like there are churches who have changed their entire affiliation just because they've realized that as a group, like the governing body, because there are politics in church, the governing body has gone way too far in this direction. We're going to go in this direction.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it's true. And understanding that you know, churches are run by humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Humans like us. The second if I'm looking for the perfect church and I walk in, the second I walk in, it's not perfect anymore because like I'm bringing my
you're there.
Right.
Because I'm there and I'm just like, so it's never going to be perfect. It was never supposed to be perfect. But I do agree that there's some evolution happening and it will continue, you know, and it is always going to be around because I mean, it always has been, you know, and I don't know, like I am not pessimistic on it. Like I do tell people, I run camera 5 at my church. There's some things in my church that drives me freaking crazy, but I know that I'm loved there and I have an opportunity to love other people there and my kids love to go there and I'm better off for being there. And so for me, it's for me. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but it is for me. And I just think, again, to have this platform and to let people know that you belong here, even if you don't believe what I believe, even in my book, How to Human, I say it, like, I think maybe chapter 2. Listen, like I talk about Jesus in this book. I believe in Jesus in a certain way, that he's God, all these things. You can just believe in Jesus like you believe in Mother Teresa, like he was just a historical figure. And he still kind of wins the Human of the Century Millennial Award.
Yeah.
So we're just going to use him as our guide in this journey.
No, and I love the way you approach that. And it's very approachable and it feels very safe for this time. Yeah. Which is what we need. And yeah, this is giving me hope. And I do know that I have to, I in many of the relationships I have to make the first move, which is somebody who holds grudges is not my favorite, but I will do that because we're friends. And no, crack open my icy heart. Okay. Very serious question. What is your go-to karaoke song?
Two of them.
Yeah, I knew there was going to be more than one.
Okay.
He's too good. He's too good. Too good.
The first one is...
Oh, really?
Una poca de gracia. So La Bamba every single time.
You don't need the screen either, do you?
No. Oh, bro, I don't need no screen.
Okay. You know, I got you.
And then the place always gets nice. And then the second one is going to be a lot less familiar, but it's... To the beat and the rhythm of the night, I dance until the morning light.
Gloria,
forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Elder Bard. Elder Bard.
Oh, it's Elder Bard. Sorry.
Barge. You know, I listened. That was like, for me, that was like, I don't know, I think it was ninth grade. There was a movie that came out called The Last Dragon.
Yeah.
It was like the Bruce Leroy.
Dude, it was awesome. Like,
it was freaking amazing.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of weird neon special effects once he became the dragon.
Effects. Yes, it was so good. Showing
up with
the bad guy.
You guys were living parallel lives.
Who was the love interest? The girl. She was so cute.
No, she was gorgeous. Like I was like super crushed on her.
Yes, I'm like that's my main memory.
Is in my locker. Her name was like kind of like those one word names. You know, it was like
Googling currently.
So this is the device that finds out answers.
Very I know.
It's telling us. All. Remember, we said that we know too much.
We know too much, Penn. We know too much. Okay,
there she is.
What's her name?
The Last Dragon woman. Who is the female in The Last Dragon?
Yeah.
Who's she? Kelly Marie Tran.
Does that seem
okay? But what was her name?
Wait, no. This is wrong. This is a remake because Awkwafina is in this.
No, Last Dragon is like a Disney movie.
No.
This was like a 1980s.
No,
it had synth music.
Yeah, here it is. I got it. Cast. Oh my gosh, I see her right now. Vanity was her
it was
name.
Vanity. It was Vanity. So she's like she's famous. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, God. I was gonna say Apollonia, but I thought I was gonna get it wrong. It was like somewhere around there. Apollonia was Purple Rain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So all of that to say that's my
you're,
look out on the street now. The party's just
oh my
beginning.
Gosh. And I'm like,
you're feeling it, right?
No.
I mean, let's totally. Go. Let's get the congo.
So Elder Barge went on like a crazy 80s movie soundtrack. He was like the Kenny Loggins of, because he did, he did Who's Johnny?
Who's Johnny? And smiled in this special way. Johnny, she said, the, you know.
Not a good movie. But like,
great soundtrack.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, yes, man. I'm so freaking pumped for the rest of my day today because I'm gonna put on Elder Barge on Spotify.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Well, I can't wait to go karaoke with you because Penn will hit
you.
Yes,
when you come to Nashville and hang out.
I know,
but I bet in Nashville there's not karaoke bars. You just actually have to play an instrument. You just show up with a guitar and your karaoke. Yeah,
and then
that's totally it in Nashville. You definitely.
We went karaokeing right before New Year's and at this bar we always go to. And Penn obviously is a very good singer and performer. So it's like everything kind of is very good. And then like real people get up and it's a little intimidating. So these women invited him up to help and they were singing Goodbye Earl. Do you remember this?
Yeah, Goodbye Earl.
He goes, oh, yeah, I think I know this song. He didn't even look at the screen.
Yes.
And he knew every single word. I didn't even know you knew every single word to Goodbye Earl.
It's a wonderful song.
Yes. It's a journey.
It's if you're not familiar with it, Carlos, it's about murdering an abusive husband and dumping him in a lake.
Earl had to die.
Yes. It's a wonderful song.
Yeah.
It's really good. It slays in karaoke. Especially if a dude's awesome. Singing it.
Especially if a dude is taking it. Anyway, so before we let you go, where are people? Obviously Instagram. So just give us where people can find you.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram most of the time at LOSWHIT, Low Swit. Same thing on Twitter, but I always tell people like Instagram and Twitter, like don't follow me on Twitter if you just want Instagram, Carlos, because it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like I go to Twitter to complain and I go to Instagram to love, right? And so like those are the fun places that I hang out. And I got a website, but I don't even know if I've even ever been to my website. So.
Do you remember the name of your website?
It's maybe my name with two T's, CarlosWhitaker.com.
Okay, maybe my name. The people who designed and put your website in it are like currently loading all your books on there. They're like,
true. You can pre-order my book or I don't know when this comes out, but you can order my book on my website too.
It'll be live, I think, hopefully. And just again, I want to say this again, because I'm not used to Whitaker having two T's. Whitaker has two T's, people.
Two T's, very important. Yes. There's only a few of us in the 2T tribe. So when you see a 2T, you just know I'm probably related to them.
Okay. Now I want to watch the facts of life. Okay, we got to get off.
Okay, so
take the good, you take the bad, you take the good of it, you have the facts of life.
Because of 2T. Get it? No?
Yeah, 2T.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Like
he got
a musical dad joke.
Yeah. He's tracking.
Anyway, thanks so much for being here.
You guys are amazing. Thanks for hanging out and thanks for asking these very important questions, because I feel like, you know, it's just time. It's time to be like, no, let's do this on purpose.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-conditioned traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.